This episode brought to you by Correlation and BankJoy. On the show today, we have ThinkStack's very own Michael Seidelman talking about the top five ways credit unions can protect themselves in the cybersecurity arena. Really important stuff here, so check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Michael Seidelman from ThinkStack. Michael, how are you, sir?
I'm fantastic, Michael. How about yourself?
Doing well. Better now that you're here. So thank you for taking some time out today to chat with us about top five ways credit unions can protect themselves today. So this has got every executive on their toes these days. This is such top of mind stuff. So, but before we get into the five things to protect themselves, so is there a theme or a thread that kind of runs through these? I'm just kind of curious here.
Absolutely. So it's preparedness. All of the top five items that we're going to talk about today all revolve around some level of preparation.
Okay.
Things that we do or should be doing to be able to prevent, identify, or recover from an event. Over the past several years, there have been quite a shift in the maturity of threats. We've seen bad actors change from modifying their modify their tactics from sending out hundreds of thousands of spam emails, right? Phishing emails at random, right, to now really targeting specific organizations and countries. Bad actors in Russia don't target other companies in Russia because they get there are severe penalties for that. They stay away from attacking their own, right? Now, ransomware, we've seen ransomware be fairly random to now there's companies or organizations out there that are doing ransomware as a service, right?
Really?
So, yeah, it's really incredible the way that threats have really matured over time.
And there's ransomware insurance now too. My gosh.
There is. And, it's just these bad actors trying to take advantage of vulnerable people, vulnerable systems, or vulnerable or lack of monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
And with the pandemic, right, we've seen a huge increase in the number of remote workers, right? So not only is your typical organization at risk, but what about the router or the computer on the home network that, you know, may or may not get patching or updates,
mm-hmm.
right? And with the rapid increase in adoption of cloud services, organizations sometimes don't quite understand their role or their responsibility in protecting the data in the cloud. Whose responsibility is that? Is it the cloud providers or is it my responsibility?
Yeah.
And we've seen tons of regulatory changes, right? From the California Consumer Protection Act or CCPA to over in Germany, the GDPR, all these regulations about data privacy and data protection. All the states are making up new laws, and none of them are the same. So the regulatory changes are certainly becoming challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we need to be prepared for all of those changes.
Oh, so many moving pieces. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I keep telling high schoolers, man, if you want a job, if you want a steady job getting out of college and a well-paying one, go into cybersecurity. It's not, it's going to be around for a while, I think. So anyway, so hey, let's discuss some of those five things that we're talking about here. So let's do number one, just briefly share each one and then why real quick.
Sure. So I'll give a quick overview of the five, right?
Okay.
Or at least just name them off.
Okay.
In no level of importance, they're important, right? So we start off with awareness. Awareness is key. Then we get into patching and vulnerability scanning, endpoint protection, using a security incident and event monitoring or a SIEM tool.
Okay.
And finally, you mentioned it already, making sure you've got the added protection of that cybersecurity insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to dig into each one individually, we'll start with the awareness.
It's sure.
by far my favorite thing to talk about. absolutely. We just got done with October, and October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
I remember, yes.
It's been a big push by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA. It's a federal agency that for the past 18 years has sponsored October as being the Cybersecurity Awareness Month. And the reason it's my favorite topic is it covers everyone, right? From the CEO of the largest organizations to the IT team, processing payments, call center employees, tellers, members, family members, everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Awareness campaigns can be made generic and cover the most generic topics like ransomware to the most specific, hey, your iPhone updates, right? From the executive team, operation team, finance team, everybody. There are tools that can be used to promote phishing awareness and simulate phishing attacks, right? Most IT teams deploy several technical tools to prevent phishing attacks from ever even getting to the end user, right? But bad actors know this.
Oh, yeah.
And they leverage that, right? So they're trying to bypass those automated tools every day. And they're doing things like using poor grammar. You know, you always get that email that, why can't they spell correctly, you know, or urgent is spelled wrong. Mm-hmm. That's done so that they can get through those spam filters. They do things like embedding images with all of the verbiage so that the spam filters, all they see is a picture as an attachment instead of having any words to compare.
Oh,
to
interesting. Spam filter,
right? These tools often help make employees aware of things like phishing, which is voice phishing, right? Have you ever gotten that phone call? This is the IRS and you owe us $10,000, right? So they've got phishing attacks out there. They've got smishing, which is you get a text to your phone, right?
Yeah.
So bad actors are trying to create a sense of urgency and time sensitivity to all these things that they're doing. Because by human nature, we try to help, right? We wanna help folks out. Give you a quick example here. No names, no organizations, but there was a branch manager, not the main branch, that received a phone call from the utility or power company.
Oh.
Basically stating that they were trying to get in touch with the main branch to pay their utility bill because they were 3 months behind. And they were going to shut off power to that facility if they didn't get payment right now, right? So the branch manager obviously felt, well, I don't want to lose power in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And I can't service my members. And I want to, you know, make sure that this goes on and I'll fix that later. So guess what? They pulled out their credit card.
Oh, no.
And the bad actor was really smart. Because after giving the information getting the information from that branch manager, guess what that bad actor told the branch manager?
Well, thank you very much.
Your card has been declined.
Oh, no.
Do you have another?
Oh, my gosh.
And they pulled out another credit card.
Oh, my gosh.
So not only did that bad actor get away with one credit card, they got two.
Jesus.
So it's things like that we really need to make people aware of.
Yeah.
Right. These tools can educate, especially in the credit union industry, educate employees on things like fraudulent wire transfers, right? They call in, they might not have all the exact information or the correct information to do a wire transfer, but there's a sense of urgency, you know, my husband's in the hospital, I need the money, or what have you. And we just want to help, right? So turns out that those are all fraudulent, right?
Goodness.
There's things like elderly abuse. You get an elderly customer or elderly member come in and say, hey, you know, I need to withdraw $10,000. Oh, well, what do you need that for? How can we help? Doing something fun, you know? And it may turn out that they're trying to pay a ransom because their home computer was ransomed, or they got an email saying that their grandson was in jail and that they needed the money. Well, call your grandson, right?
Yeah.
And, well, I can't, he's in jail. Well, just give him a call and sure enough, they'll answer and go, I'm not in there. What are you talking about, right? So awareness is super important to all organizations. One of the best things to do, and this is something that people don't think about when they're talking about awareness, is tabletop exercises. Michael, have you ever heard of a tabletop?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what you do is you get together, and sorry for using this as a football analogy, but we're right in the middle of football season, right? Yes. But professional teams don't just show up on Sundays or Monday nights or Thursday nights and just play a game, right? They practice, and they practice all week long. They practice in the off season so that they know what to do come game time. In a tabletop exercise, you gather all those key stakeholders together. You present a situation and practice how you would handle the event. In recent months, I've led tabletop exercises where I would present a ransomware event. Ransomware is on everybody's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it would lead to identifying areas for improvement, like communication, both internally and externally. What planning for extended event duration might mean, right? If I'm down for 3-4 days, if somebody's been up for that long trying to troubleshoot and restore, hey, we got to give that person a break at some point and bring in a second string or a group of replacements, right? It also brings to light, when do we need to plan to involve our cyber insurance company or legal department or even a PR firm, right? And we also practice tabletop exercises for things like natural disasters, fires, floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes. These are key to practice so that the credit unions understand what they need to do to continue to service their members during these critical events.
Yeah.
And tabletop exercises are a fantastic way of doing that. So I know I've talked a lot about awareness. That's, like I said, my favorite topic.
Well, we can cover one more if you want, and then we can leave the other three for folks to give you guys a call and get some more details. How about that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, certainly, if that's how you want to do it, definitely. Sure. Patching and vulnerability scanning is certainly another one. We spoke about helping to protect their employees. And what about your systems, mm-hmm. right? Patching systems is one of the best ways of keeping your environment safe from those bad actors. Keeping your operating systems up to date is key. And more importantly, making sure your operating system is supported.
Mm-hmm.
I've still seen Windows 7 or Windows Server 2003 in environments, and those should be replaced as soon as possible.
Yeah, like yesterday.
Definitely.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. We've also seen Adobe Reader and Oracle Java updates that are often overlooked. And some things that people overlook as well is printers, DVRs, phone systems.
Mm-hmm.
Security cameras.
I was thinking the same thing. Security cameras. Yeah.
They absolutely need updates as well.
Yeah.
And those often go overlooked because typically it's a third party vendor that might support those things. And, they're not always prompt in doing their updates, especially those DVRs and security mm-hmm. cameras. Right.
Yeah.
But how do you know what systems have vulnerabilities? Well, you've got to do a vulnerability scan. And you got to know what those vulnerabilities are. There's several tools out there that can scan environments and inventory what software is installed, what's out of date, and what needs to be replaced. New vulnerabilities are identified daily, right? So we recommend performing those scans no less frequently than monthly
mm-hmm,
to help identify especially those critical vulnerabilities that should be addressed quickly. Obviously, those are some key points.
Yep.
Endpoint protection, leveraging a SIEM tool, and of course that cybersecurity insurance. One of the keys with that is knowing what you're covered for before an event happens, and you're mm-hmm. figuring it out yeah. during an event.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Absolutely not. So those were my five things. Sorry, okay. I rambled so much about
that's
the
okay.
awareness.
No worries.
But definitely one of my favorite topics.
So, I mean, I want to have one question for you about the cybersecurity insurance, because I'm glad you went into that one a little bit more detail, because I'm so curious about that. So how prevalent is this, and how for real is it? Because I've heard that they'll only cut. I mean, there's so many technicalities, I guess, with cybersecurity insurance. So, I mean, what can you, I mean, that could be a show in itself, I think.
Absolutely.
But just real briefly, what can you share with us on that? Because I think a lot of people are interested in that.
From my perspective, my company doesn't do cyber security insurance. We don't touch on that, but we certainly recommend that you talk with a cybersecurity insurance provider. But some of the questions, and as far as prevalence go, it's certainly becoming more prevalent. It's been around now for almost 20 years. But a lot of people think, well, I've got liability insurance for $1 million or whatever.
Yeah.
And there might be a clause in there that says, yes, your physical data is protected from destruction, right? But nowhere does it talk about ransomware. Nowhere does it talk about social engineering attacks. You know, what exactly do these policies cover? Liability policies typically don't cover the things that cybersecurity insurance covers. Mm-hmm. And we do see a lot more people carrying cybersecurity insurance. But the things to know there are, if you're not patching, if you're not, if you don't have endpoint protection, it's possible that that insurance company might deny a claim.
Completely.
Right?
Yeah.
What happens if you are hit with ransomware and there's legal fees? Is that covered by your cyber insurance?
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
And other things too, like PR firms, are they covered? Incident response teams, are they covered? These are all things to find out well in advance of any type of event or incident.
Yeah, read that fine print for sure in this case. I mean, it's a great thing, you know, if it works and it's used properly, but man, I would, yeah, double check and triple check what's in that policy for sure. So how do you see, so kind of last question here for you, Michael, so how do you see these five things evolving over the next year or even 6 months, even a month? Because things, as you know, are changing so fast. So, I mean, just real quick, I mean, how do you see everything evolving?
Absolutely. So these things are all great baselines to start with, right? And obviously, as we talked about ransomware and threats, they're going to evolve and mature almost daily, right? Bad actors are finding new ways, different ways to attack systems, attack people, and attack platforms. Cloud is certainly one of the big growing items.
Good point.
You know, we see all that growing and changing. Patching, vulnerability scans, how do you scan for those new threats? Endpoint protection, we're going to leverage the cloud more and more. And when you leverage the cloud platforms for endpoint protection, you get those real-time threats that are coming into the Azures, to the Amazon clouds, to all of them to help you mitigate your environment or threats in your environment. Mm-hmm. Real time almost. I think we're going to see that change. Cyber insurance, I think we're going to see more and more claims getting denied because people aren't following the policies or procedures that they should have in place. Right. And regulatory requirements, are those going to be covered or not? If I get hit with a regulatory fine, is my cyber insurance going to pay for that?
Yeah.
That come out of my pocket. I think we're going to see all those things change.
Gosh, so much to think about. And so that's why thank you for people like you out there that help us out in this area too, because there's so much and it just seems to get more complicated as each day goes by. So yeah, it's just, it's crazy out there right now. My gosh.
Definitely.
But again, thank you for folks like you that are out there helping credit unions and helping people like me stay out of trouble and oh my goodness. So yeah, good stuff. Anything else to wrap up here, Michael?
So, I mean, overall, simply just be prepared, right? Yeah. Credit unions have been trusted to protect their members' data, their finances, their livelihood. We certainly should be putting protections in place wherever possible. And they can't afford to skip investing in cybersecurity. Brand protection, staying competitive, member trust, all reasons to invest in cyber.
Exactly. Yeah, I was thinking that, you know, this is budget season for a lot of folks, credit unions included. So I'm sure that's pretty high on the list as far as making an investment. Yeah, for sure. All right, Michael. Well, thank you so much again. Appreciate the time. This is fantastic information, great takeaways here, and look forward to chatting again soon.
Awesome. Michael, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
You are welcome.